that he who died on the cross, he who was placed in the tomb, is alive. And that's the hope that fills us, that even when this world is going crazy, we have a Savior who has paid for our sins, who has conquered death, and who says, I am with you always to the very end of this age. What an amazing promise that we have through God's Son, Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's not always easy following Jesus, is it? It's not always easy being, if you will, a Jesus freak, following him, surrendering to him, doing as what God calls us to do. In fact, in the world today, there are thousands of persecuted Christians, millions who worship at risk of their very life. Just last month, there was a report from the World Watch List 2020 that there are 250 million Christians that live in areas of this world where Christians are at high risk or very high risk or extreme levels of persecution. Just think of that, 250 million Christians are living where it's risky to follow Jesus. In fact, in China, over 5,500 churches have either been destroyed, taken over, or people can't worship there anymore. Do you know how many churches are in the United States in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Just about 2,000. So if you can imagine that, 5,500 churches have been closed down in China. Or how about Nigeria? This is one of the most extreme places to be a Christian. In 2019, approximately 1,350 Christians, their lives were taken for what? For following Jesus. You know, you and I, it's kind of risky coming to church right now too, isn't it? Some of you are kind of afraid, and I know some of you that are home right now are like, you've told me, Pastor, I don't think I'm going to come back the first week, all right? I'm going to see how it goes and see, you know, how serious people are taking this, and you might see me in a little bit. And why is that? Because worshiping is risky. With COVID-19, we just don't know, other than if you're in groups of people for an extended period of time, there's a risk in worshiping Jesus. And so I thank so much that we're all wearing face masks today. That reduces the risk. It's the loving thing to do, and I appreciate that so much, so that more people who maybe are wondering, is the risk worth it, may come. But I got to tell you, if you have underlying health conditions, if you have diabetes, if you have heart disease, if you're suffering from any type of a lung disease, maybe it is best for you to stay home, to worship online. And one day we'll gather together when we have a vaccine again. But until that day comes, how many of you are a little bit anxious or afraid coming to church today? All right, a few of you, all right? I'm glad you're here. And so today we're continuing our sermon series, looking at through the world through Jesus' eyes, having 20/20 vision. And today we're talking about being fearless. And I love the gospel text for today. Jesus says three times, do not be afraid. And he says, do not be afraid is kind of a pep talk, all right? Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has gathered his disciples together, and now he is sending them out. He sees the crowd, and do you remember what characteristic of Jesus we talked about last week? Jesus was, he saw the crowds, and he was filled with compassion. All right, those of you that said that, you get a gold star in your crown in heaven, okay? All right. He was filled with compassion, but he sends them out. And he says, don't be afraid. Now, as I read these next verses for you, remember this is a pep talk, all right? Jesus is giving us, his followers, a pep talk as we carry the name of Jesus Christ into this world. And Jesus says, be on your guard against who? Against men, all right? Know that there are people in this world who don't want to see the good news of Jesus Christ proclaimed. Jesus specifically here is talking about the Pharisees and the chief priests, that they are threatened by the gospel and the freedom that Jesus brings. And so Jesus tells his disciples, you know, be on guard. Know that they're there. And then, all right, this is the pep talk. You guys ready for the pep talk? You ready to get fired up? All right, here we go. They will hand you over to the local church and flog you in the synagogues, all right? On my account, you'll be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Brother will betray brother to death. A father, his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Woohoo, are you ready? Isn't that great? That's a pep talk, all right? That's a pep talk that Jesus is giving you. But then he says this, all right? He says, all men will hate you. Why? Because of me. You know, Jesus says, if you're following me in such a way that you're sold out, that you're surrendering your life, you're loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, you're loving neighbor as yourself, there's a part of this world that will take offense at that. Especially when you start saying that there's only one way to heaven, right? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's offensive. Men will hate us because of the truth that we speak. That Jesus is God's Son. That the one God, the only God in heaven and on earth, is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The world hated Jesus, and they will hate you and I. But here's the good news, all right? But he who does what? He who stands firm to the end will be saved. All right, so sometimes I read that and say, all right, all I have to do is stand firm, all right? Have you ever reached some days where you're just like, wow, I don't know if I can take this tomorrow, but God says, stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in Jesus Christ. Stand firm knowing that God is with you, that God is for you, that God wants to use you, people of God, to carry Jesus to the world. You know, this isn't the only time that we find in scriptures that there's opposition to the people of God. When you think about the people of Israel, they were slaves and captive in Egypt, but God set them free. But when they got to the Red Sea with Pharaoh's armies behind them, they looked at the sea and they said, what are we going to do? Moses, have you brought us out in this desert to die? And God says this. He says, don't be afraid, but stand firm. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. How is this going to happen? The Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, will fight for you. You need only to do what? Be still. Isn't that crazy? God says, even though you have this army behind you and this Red Sea in front of you, I'm going to save you. And I think the danger when we look at this world, when we feel inadequate, when we feel fearful, is when we say it's all up to me. It's up to me to handle this world. It's up to me to convince other people. But it's God that is at work in our hearts, in our lives, in the lives of this world by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring people to Jesus. Or else you think about the account of Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel is one of the king's men who were brought from Israel to Babylon. And they were raised up in the captivity to be leaders and to be trained in the ways of King Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel set himself aside and he only worshiped God. Even when they built a statue and said, if you don't worship the gold statue of the king, you will be put to death. Daniel, was he afraid? Maybe. But did he stop praying to God? No. And do you remember what happened to Daniel? He was thrown into the lion's den. But who was with him? God. And God closed the mouths of this lion. I'm not sure if you can see this. You can't really see it here, but from home, there's actually a figure, an angel, with his arms outstretched over Daniel, keeping guard over him. And that's God in our lives today, watching over us. And so Jesus says, after his pep talk, stand firm, don't be afraid of people. Don't be on guard against men, but don't be afraid of them. Because there's going to be a day when nothing concealed that will be disclosed, all right, or hidden that will not be made known. And so what people do in darkness, the destruction of our hearts, the sins against God and other people that we think nobody sees, God sees. And when Jesus returns, all things will be laid bare. Okay. You might be thinking, oh no, does that mean God will know everything that's done in my life? And yeah, that's the truth. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we sin. We break our promises. We hurt other people with our words and our actions. We aren't always loving in what we say and do. And because of sin, we deserve God's wrath. But God has sent his Son, not to condemn us, but to rescue us. And so what Jesus has told us, what he has told us in the dark, speak to it now so that everybody can hear what Jesus whispers in our ear through his word. Shout it from the rooftop, right? Shout it. Let everybody hear. Jesus is Lord. It's kind of daunting, isn't it? Shout it from the rooftop. Jesus is Lord. But this is what we as Christians have been called to do, to share the goodest, best news ever, that God is for us, that God loves us so much he sent us his Son, Jesus Christ, that even though we have disobeyed him, even though we have turned our backs on God, even though we sin daily in Jesus Christ, for all who repent, who all who have been washed in the waters of baptism and turn to Christ, there is freedom. There is new life. There is forgiveness. There's life in this world and life in the world to come. And that's the best news of all. God is for us. Isn't that great news? That God wants us not just to keep to ourselves, but to shout it from the rooftop so that everybody may know. And so Jesus says again, don't be afraid of he who can kill the body but not the soul. But what's the one thing that we should be afraid of? The one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. The one who leads us astray. The one who says, you know, there's other paths. The one who says sin isn't real. The one who says the devil's not real. The one who says heaven and hell aren't real. When you die, that's the end. Do you hear that in the world? Are people believing that and following that? But you and I, we must stand firm. Stand firm in the truth that we have heard and learned from God's word, that we have learned in the small catechism, that Jesus is Lord. And ultimately, the whole theme of the message of the Bible is that God wins, love wins, Jesus wins, life wins. And so we live without fear. And then as Gail says, you know, when you think about the sparrow, just these tiny birds, they're everywhere. And yet God knows when one of them falls to the ground. How much more precious are you than a sparrow? God knows you. God loves you. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And so what do you do? All right, how do you stand firm? In Ephesians 6, Paul gives us this wonderful image of putting on the armor of God, all right? The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, to also equip our feet with the gospel of peace. And we carry the sword of the Spirit, standing firm in our faith. And I love this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. How do we stand firm? Is it up to us? I love that God says, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. God is the one who anointed us. God is the one who set his seal of ownership on us, and he has put his Spirit into our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. And so we don't have to be afraid because we know what is to come, Jesus. And in Christ, in faith, in baptism, we're in Jesus. Do not be afraid. Jesus is in you. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus' message to us, that even when this world doesn't make sense, even when it seems that your church, Christians, are being attacked, you said that's what's going to happen. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be shocked. But help us, O Lord, not to be afraid in proclaiming the truth that you have shown us, revealed to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no other way to the Father except through him. Help us, Lord, to fearlessly proclaim this message from our rooftops, in our lives, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our communities, that some people might come to know Jesus through us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.